Part 4. We got to Legrand's hut at 1 o'clock in the morning, rested for an hour, and then had something to eat. Then we started back to the hills, carrying 3 strong sacks, which Legrand had in the hut. A little before 4 in the morning, we arrived at the treasure and distributed everything we had found among the 3 sacks. We finally got back to the hut 2 hours later. We were all very tired, of course, but the great excitement of finding the treasure didn't let us rest much. After 3 or 4 hours' sleep, we got up to inspect what we had found. There was so much treasure that it took us the whole day and a large part of the night to examine all the things that were in the box. When we had finished classifying everything, we saw that we had found even more riches than we had at first thought. When we counted the coins, we found that they were worth more than $450,000. The coins came from many countries, including Spain and England. There were also large diamonds, brilliant rubies, beautiful emeralds, and an opal. Besides all the jewels, there was a great quantity of gold ornaments, including more than 80 very large, heavy crucifixes, some beautiful gold bowls, and many other smaller items. We also found 397 gold watches, which were so old that they didn't work anymore, but they all had jewels on them and were therefore very valuable. We estimated that the entire contents of the box were worth $1,500,000. 2 weeks later, after we had sold most of the ornaments and jewels, we kept only a few for our own use, we found out that the treasure was worth even more than we had thought. After we had finished examining the treasure and calmed down a little, Legrand finally explained to me how he had known where to find it. "You remember the night you were here, and I gave you a drawing of the gold bug?" Legrand began. "You probably remember that I was angry with you for saying that my drawing looked like a skull and not like a beetle. At first I thought you were joking. Then I decided that perhaps you were right. Because of the spots on the beetle's back, it looked a little like a skull. Still, I wasn't happy with what you had said about my drawing, because I think I'm a good artist. So when you gave the piece of parchment back to me, I was going to throw it into the fire."
"You mean the piece of paper which you drew on?" I asked.
"No, it looked like paper, and at first that's what I thought it was," continued Legrand. "But when I started drawing on it, I discovered that it was a piece of very thin parchment. You probably remember that it was quite dirty. Well, when I was just going to throw it into the fire, I looked at it again. Imagine how surprised I was to see the drawing of a skull in the same place where I thought I had drawn the bug. The general shapes of the drawings were similar, but the details were very different. I lit a candle, sat down at the other end of the room and began to look at the parchment more closely. I turned the parchment over and saw my own drawing there on the other side, just as I had made it. At first I only felt surprised that the two drawings were so similar and were also the same size. It was also a coincidence that there should be a drawing of a skull on the other side of the parchment on which I had drawn my beetle. I began to feel very tense from the effort of trying to find some connection between the coincidences. Then I became calm again, and I remembered that there hadn't been another drawing on the parchment when I made mine. I was sure of this because I had turned the parchment in all directions in order to find the cleanest place for my drawing. So if the skull had been there, you would certainly have seen it," I interrupted. "Yes, it was a mystery which I couldn't explain," said Legrand. "I put the parchment in a safe place
and decided to think about it some more when I was alone. After you left and Jupiter was asleep, I began to investigate everything more deeply. First of all, I thought about how I had found the parchment. The place where we had found the gold bug was on the coast of the mainland, about 2 kilometers east of the island. When I picked up the beetle, it bit me and I dropped it. It then flew towards Jupiter, who looked for a leaf or something else to catch it with, because he didn't want to touch it with his hands. That's when we both saw the small piece of parchment, which we thought was paper. It was almost buried in the sand, and only a corner of it was visible. Jupiter took the parchment, put it round the beetle, and gave it to me. This all happened near a place where I had seen the wreck of a very old ship. We then started to walk home. On the way, we met Lieutenant Grant, and I showed him the bug. He asked me to let him take it to the fort, because he was very interested in natural history. I agreed, and he put the bug in his pocket without the parchment in which it had been. I must have then put the parchment into my own pocket without thinking about it. That evening, when I wanted to make a drawing of the beetle for you, I looked for some paper, but I didn't find any. I then looked in my pockets, hoping to find an old letter there, and that was when I found the piece of parchment. I now began to see some kind of explanation for the drawing of the skull. The explanation was that I had seen an old boat on the beach, and not far from the boat there was a piece of parchment with the drawing of a skull on it. As you know, the skull is the sign of pirates. They've got a flag with a skull on it, and they use it on all their ships. Parchment lasts for a very long time, and usually only important things are written on it. This fact convinced me that there must be some special meaning and importance to the drawing of the skull. But, I interrupted, you just said that the skull was not on the parchment when you made your drawing of the beetle. So how can you see any connection between the boat you saw and the skull? Yes, this seemed to be a mystery, but it wasn't too difficult for me to solve, said Legrand. I will explain how I discovered the secret. When I gave you the drawing, you were sitting near the fire. You took the parchment in your right hand and started to examine it. The parchment was very close to the fire. When I thought about all this later, I became certain that the heat of the fire had caused the appearance of the skull on the parchment. You probably know that there are chemicals which can be used on paper or parchment so that the writing only becomes visible when it's near the heat of a fire. After thinking about all this, I lit another fire and held every part of the parchment close to it. At first, the only thing that happened was that the drawing of the skull became clearer. I continued my experiment, and after some time, the drawing of a kid, a young goat, appeared in the other corner, opposite the skull. "What are you saying?" I asked, confused. "What connection can there be between pirates and goats? I don't understand." "I've just told you that it wasn't a goat," Legrand explained. "You said it was a kid, and that's the same thing," I insisted. "Almost, but not quite the same," Legrand continued. "Have you ever heard of the famous pirate Captain Kidd? To me, the animal seemed to be a signature, while the skull seemed to be a seal. There wasn't any writing, and I had thought I would find some there. You see, I had a feeling that some great fortune was waiting for me. Jupiter's silly words that the bug was made of real gold had a strong influence on my imagination. My mind went over every single thing that had happened, and I began to understand." Legrand paused for a few moments, absorbed in thought. "Please continue," I said. I'm impatient to hear more.
You must have heard some of the stories about money buried along this coast by Captain Kidd and his pirate friends, said Legrand. The stories have been told for such a long time that I was sure the buried treasure was real and had not been found yet. If Kidd had already dug up the treasure, the stories would have stopped. It seemed to me that he must have lost the map showing where the treasure was buried, and so hadn't found it. Have you ever heard of anyone finding treasure along this coast?
No, never, I answered.
It's well known that Captain Kidd had a great amount of treasure, Legrand continued. You won't be surprised when I tell you that I was almost certain that the parchment was the lost map of its hiding place.
What did you do next? I asked curiously.
I held the parchment close to the fire again, but nothing happened, said Legrand. I then thought that maybe I couldn't see anything because the parchment was dirty, so I washed it with warm water. After that, I put it into a metal bowl with a skull side down and put the bowl over the fire. When the bowl became very hot, I took the parchment out of it and saw that there were figures on it. These figures were in lines. Here, you can see for yourself what I saw then.
Legrand heated the parchment again and gave it to me. I looked at the figures, but I understood nothing. It was too complicated for me. These strange figures don't mean anything to me, I said. Even if the biggest treasure in the world was waiting for me, I know I couldn't understand these figures.
The solution isn't as difficult as you think, Legrand explained. These figures are, of course, a code. I knew it had to be relatively easy, because Captain Kidd wasn't clever enough to write a very difficult code. But you still need a key to solve a code.
And you managed to work out its meaning? I asked.
Certainly, Legrand replied. I've always been interested in codes, and I've solved more difficult ones in the past. The first thing I had to do was to decide what language the code was written in. You remember that I told you that Captain Kidd had used the figure of a young goat or kid as his signature. That makes sense only in English, not in Spanish or French, so I knew that the code was in English.
Legrand paused for a moment, then he continued.
I won't explain everything I did to get the solution. That would take too long. I will only tell you that the solution was based on how many times certain letters of the alphabet are used in a language. I know that the letter most used in English is E. I also know how often the other letters of the alphabet are used. It took me many hours of hard work to find the key to the code. But here is the clear, uncoded message.
Legrand gave me a piece of paper, on which was written, A good glass in the Bishop's Hotel, near the Devil's Seat. 41 degrees and 13 minutes, northeast by north, main branch, 7th branch east side. Shoot from the left eye of the skull, a straight line from the tree, 30 meters out.
I don't understand anything, I said to Legrand.
Legrand smiled and said, At first, I didn't understand either. That is why I went from place to place asking if there was a place called the Bishop's Hotel. I finally found an old woman who told me that there was such a place. It wasn't a building, but a high rock. I offered her a lot of money if she would take me to the rock, and finally she agreed. When we got there, I told her she could go. Then I climbed to the top of the rock. There, on one side, I found a place which looked very much like a chair or seat. I decided that this must be the devil's seat in the message. After that, it was easy to understand the other instructions in the message. I knew that glass was a word that pirates used instead of telescope. So I went home and got my telescope. Then I climbed up to the devil's seat and looked through the telescope according to the instructions about degrees and directions given in the message.
"I'm surprised at how you were able to understand everything," I said in admiration.
Through the telescope, I saw a very tall tree, and I could see a skull attached to one of its branches, continued Legrand. I understood that I had to climb that tree and then drop something heavy through the left eye of the skull. Then I had to measure a straight line of 30 meters from the tree. I was sure that the treasure was buried there. The next day, I got up early and managed to leave the house without Jupiter seeing me. I went into the hills and spent the entire day looking for the tree until I finally found it. When I got home, Jupiter wanted to beat me. You know the rest of the story.
And I suppose that we didn't find the treasure at first because Jupiter dropped the bug through the right eye instead of the left eye of the skull, I said.
Yes, that's correct, Legrand said. But I was so sure that the treasure was there that I didn't want to stop looking.
There's only one more question I want to ask, I said. Whose skeletons did we find in the hole?
I can't really answer that question, Legrand replied. But this is what I think. Captain Kidd must have had some help burying the treasure. After the work was finished, he didn't want his helpers to take the treasure for themselves or tell other people where it was. It was probably quite easy to kill them while they were still in the hole they had dug. This is certainly a possibility, but the fact is that the real truth will never be known.